Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
You're listening to the Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about the HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. My name is Sue, and Josh and I will be guiding you through the next 60 minutes. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. On this week's show, we've got an interview with Aisha from the Terence Higgins Trust. She's going to be telling us all about what she does at the Terence Higgins Trust and more. Information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some of their events. Do contact us on hivhour@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter on hiv_hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, you can listen again on 4 p.m. on Monday and Tuesday at 12 p.m. or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Bit chilly out there, but hey.
It's chilly.
Bit sunny.
Yes, yeah, so chilly around the...
around the collar.
Yes.
Yeah. So how have you been? How have you been this week?
I've got a bit of a cold, actually.
You've got a bit
tell,
cold.
Actually. Can't you?
A bit horse. Sort of horsey.
Horsey.
Bit horsey.
So yeah, so I'm going to just see how I get on, really. But sounds very deep.
And we may have Carl joining us later, but I didn't mention him in the intro, just in case he arrives too late. But all the better if he does come and join us.
Yeah,
but if not, it's still going to be
a great show.
We've got some great stuff. And
yes.
We've got Aisha on, and we've got some great sort of topics we're going to be talking about, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so you're going to pick this next song? It's something to do with this weekend.
All right, okay. I let it out the bag. I'm actually going to a 70s weekend this weekend.
Fabulous.
And I know. We're all dressing up. I've got my silver platforms, yes. Yeah. Amazing. And I've sort of chosen, because I've got three tracks, I've chosen this one because apparently Leo says, and for some people that still do remember him, he was very big in the 70s and early 80s, and he's one of the features at the 70s weekend this weekend. So it's called Thunder in My Heart, and it's a bit of a power one.
And get your glitter out and shake it all
it's
about.
It's out.
Ooh, thunder in your heart, Sue.
Yes.
You were dancing away there, bopping
away.
I will be
in them boots.
Yeah. Those thigh-high boots. So, we're privileged to have on the show Aisha from Terence Higgins Trust. Hiya.
Hiya.
You're back again. So, it's been a while, actually. When was it? It was last year, wasn't it?
It was definitely last year.
Yeah. So, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Everything's going okay.
Yeah.
Settling back into being back into work after
the
new
year. It takes a while, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh, doesn't it?
Especially when we have such a busy time to that run-up period of campaigning and everything else.
Yeah. It's crazy for us, isn't it? I mean, just before Christmas, because obviously we've National HIV Testing Week, then World AIDS Day, and then Christmas and all the Christmas dramas. And so now we're back and settling back into things.
So just tell everyone, just remind everybody, what's your role at the Terence Higgins Trust?
So I am the coordinator of the Black African and BME project here in Brighton, which has affectionately been renamed by me as the BABME project.
Wonderful.
So BABME project here in Brighton. So basically what I do is I do outreach into the Black African and BME communities in the city, testing, outreach, just general information. People might have seen my face popping up around hair shops and at, you know, Black events and things like that. So yeah, we just tend to do a lot of that, and it's about raising awareness and trying to encourage people to do as much testing as they can.
Which is needed from everyone, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you know, it's one of the things that I always, you know, I always say that it's important to be tested no matter who you are, but especially if you're from a marginalised community, which, you know, Black African and BME communities we are. And then when you drop into that, the intersectionalities of being a woman in that community or being somebody, you know, from the MSM community that also identifies as Black African or BME, then, you know, there's a lot of intersectionalities that mean that you should be testing perhaps a little bit more often than your other counterparts. But yeah, definitely important for everybody to be being tested at the moment.
We've got anything new coming up with your project?
Yes, so we're actually starting a BME specific clinic at the BMECP here in Brighton. So that will be happening once a month. The first of those is happening on Monday, so between 10 and 2 Monday the 3rd of February at the BMECP. I'll be there. It will be me that's running the clinic. So it's just for dropping testing and advice. If anybody wants to come by and have a chat, then come and see me. And then we'll be doing that every month. And I'll be updating our Facebook page with the dates and times. And that's another new thing, is we've got a specific Facebook page now for the Black African and BME project.
That's good, yeah.
So if anybody's looking to find out what's going on or see what THT are doing, or you need to get hold of me, then you can reach me at Terence Higgins Trust, BABME, B-A-B-M-E, Brighton. That's the name of our Facebook page. And I just post things on there I think will be interesting, and update little stories and stuff.
I know we've spoken about this before, Aisha, the ongoing challenge within the community. Are we seeing light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, we're still scratching around. I mean, we are still scratching around in terms of the fact that, you know, we don't have the numbers that we would like to have, especially in Brighton, unfortunately, considering we're such a forward-thinking city and so much is going on. And in terms of, you know, awareness of what Terence Higgins Trust do in communities outside of the Black African and BME community, people here tend to know what we do, but inside of the Black African and BME community, it's a lot less than I would like. So that's why they've drafted me in. So I've been here for a year now, and numbers are going up, but they're not quite where I'd like them to be. So it's about making sure that people are, you know, aware that they need to be testing regularly. If you're sexually active, as far as I'm concerned, it's a case of being responsible for your own sexual health. And you should be getting tested regularly and coming in and seeing us.
What is it? Is it fear then that stops people?
I think it's a lot of things. It's really difficult. We get asked this question like quite a lot for people who do projects like mine, and it's not any one thing, I think, that stops people from getting tested. I think that there's definitely fear in the community. You know, there's fear, this stigma and fear that's around HIV and sexual health testing across the board, especially within our communities, just because I think we're engaging a little bit less than other communities, so that fear is a little bit stronger. Then you've also got to factor in things like, you know, people's opinions within the community. Like I said, stigma is a serious issue, and it's still a really big issue for us, unfortunately, in the Black African and BME community, because you've got lots of people with different experiences when it comes to HIV and sexual health. You've got people who may have come from countries where there's not as much access to you know, to testing and to treatment as there is here in the UK, so their picture of what the HIV status is a lot different to somebody who was born and brought up in the UK, who may, you know, be access and testing through university and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of different reasons why people aren't getting tested, and I think that's the importance of the project, is just to make sure that people know that it is for them, it is quick, it is easy, it is painless. For the HIV test and the syphilis test, it's a finger prick test, it takes 10 minutes. It's literally one of the easiest tests that you could do. And in terms of the STI testing, that's self-taken swabs now, so, you know, you do it in the privacy of a bathroom by yourself, you do the swabs, you bring them back to us, and then you get your test results back within 3 weeks by text message. So it's really important that people are taking responsibility.
Self-assurance, reassurance as well, yourself, I suppose.
Absolutely, and I think that a lot of people do worry about whether they may have an STI, maybe they've got some symptoms, or they just haven't been tested in a while. And like you said, it's self-assurance. It's a case of, you know, it's better to go and get tested, and then if there is an issue, it can be treated, and if there isn't an issue, then happy days, you can carry on with your life as you were before.
A few weeks ago, you remember the story we were covering on the radio a few weeks ago, and it was about, and it wasn't in this country, it was, I can't remember the country, was it the States? Some pastors, not pasta as in spaghetti bolognese, of some, some pastors within some churches were forming part of their sermon talking about HIV. I'd never seen that before. And that is just amazing.
I think it's a good
because
thing.
They're literally, in some communities, especially the faith communities, they're figurehead of what they believe in and their culture and everything. Isn't that amazing?
I mean it's truly amazing, and I think that it's something that, you know, it should be happening more often. I think if you are in a prominent situation, if you are in a prominent position within your community, and what you say holds weight, then I think that it's important that you do spread a message for people to be responsible, to be keeping themselves safe. And unfortunately, especially when it comes to, you know, faith communities, there is still a lot of stigma a lot of stigma when it comes to HIV especially, but sexual health in general. So, you know, I think it's important that people, you know, have those conversations. And when it's coming from a pastor, when it's coming from somebody of prominence within the community, it can make all the difference. So I do think that it's really important. And I also think that it's important that if you're in that position, that it's good to spread a good message.
Yes.
Because there's so many bad messages being spread out. There's so much misinformation out there. There's so much, you know, continuing the stigma of things that really aren't true anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's important that people are, if you're in a good place within the community, if you know that, you know, what you say holds weight, even if it's just within your group of friends, if you know that you say to your friends, come on guys, let's go get tested, and five of you get tested, then that's five more of you that were tested before. And then those five will go on and tell five other people to get tested. Sure. And that's how we hope the snowball effect works.
Some like support, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's about normalising the conversation.
Yeah.
It's about being able to talk about sexual health. You know, pretty much everybody on the planet has sex at some point.
Yeah.
So pretty much everybody on the planet should really be taking responsibility for their sexual health and being tested and, you know, being proud to be able to say, well, yeah, okay, I'm sexually active, but I'm also sexually responsible. Yeah. And that's what it boils down to.
And not feeling ashamed about that.
No.
Because I think some of this is to do with shame. Oh, I'm having sex, and within my own community, they think I shouldn't be having sex until A, B, C, and D.
Absolutely.
So it's that shame. So you're hiding the shame. You're hiding perhaps not going get those tests. Mm-hmm. And before we know it,
exactly.
You know,
it's very Victorian, isn't it? Still, it feels like we're still a bit Victorian.
It can be. And especially when you've got, you know, in the communities, in all communities, just in the population in general, you've got aspects of the population that are so free and so willing to talk about things and so happy to be out there and be counted and be, you know, happy about their sexual status, their sexual preferences, you know, that kind of thing. And then you've got the complete opposite end of the spectrum, like you say, perhaps like a little Neanderthal type thinking, very Victorian type thinking, you know, and people are entitled to their opinion. And if you feel that way, then that's completely fine.
Absolutely.
And if, you know, if you're the kind of people that prefer that abstinence is a better, you know, a better form of contraception and things like that, then that's fine. But I do think that as a society as a whole, we have to be able to embrace other people's views and other people's wants and other people's needs. And I think that that's where normalising the conversation comes into it. The more we can talk about sexual health, the more we can talk about sex in general, then the better that we can be. And I think that it breaks down, it's not just about breaking down stigma. The more we talk about things, the more we normalise that conversation, the safer essentially people will be. Because I think that sometimes people are doing things behind closed doors because shame is making them be behind closed doors, and they're not safe in that situation.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what worries me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Should we have a song?
Yeah, sure.
We'll come back. Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to play you. You like this one, don't you? Hood Boy.
Oh, I love it.
Fantasia. You're listening to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome. Very well.
Ayesha, just going back, we've still got Ayesha in the studio, everybody. Just going back to another question I was thinking about as we were listening to one of your tracks there. Do you think HIV education, and if you sort of think about the community you particularly working with, do you think it's sort of still embedded from generations before?
Yeah. I think that, so in terms of HIV education, a lot of, you know, a lot of what I do in my day job and a lot of, you know, I'm quite vocal about things. And I think that in terms of the education, it is very much, unfortunately, in the community, we're still holding on to, you know, knowledge from the 80s, from the 90s, which is massively outdated now.
Yeah.
Things have come forward so, you know, so far that holding on to that sort of perception is not necessarily helpful for the community, for ourselves in general. And I think that it's one of the things that, you know, I'm trying to work really hard to do with the project is to make sure that people get up-to-date messaging, to make sure that people know about things like Can't Pass It On, you know, and it's such an important message to get out there. And it is something that I think that we're struggling with because of the fact that the community are a little bit, when it comes to sexual health, as we've already discussed, they're a little bit closed to the messaging that's out there at the moment. But I also think, you know, on the flip side of that, I don't think that the messaging has necessarily been targeted properly at the community. So I think that that's why projects like mine are really important, because it is something that targets specifically our community, and especially when it's coming from a voice of somebody from that community. And I think that, you know, it's a lot easier to absorb information if it's coming from somebody you can relate to.
Sure.
You know, and I think that, unfortunately, you know, one of the great things about Brighton is that a lot of information is out there, but mm-hmm. one of the downsides mm-hmm. to Brighton, especially when it comes to the HIV situation, yeah. is that people assume that because we're in Brighton, when you talk about HIV, you're talking about white middle-aged men, mm-hmm. or you're yeah. talking yeah. about specifically the MSM community, and yes. we all know yeah. that that is yeah. not the case anymore. No. You know, it's massively affecting mm-hmm. women,
yes.
for example, mm-hmm. heterosexual women. It's massively mm-hmm. affecting the BME communities, and it's something that, you know, we're still fighting against mm. and we're still trying to get the education out there that people need to get tested and they need to be educating themselves a bit more. You know, click on mm. our Facebook, you know, yeah. pop in and come and see us. If you've got questions, come and have
yeah.
a chat with us.
Yeah.
If you
yeah.
see me strolling around, mm-hmm. you know, it's difficult to miss me. so if you see me strolling around, you've got a question, just uh-huh. ask me, hit me up, just mm. say something, you know, open the conversation, and I'm happy to have that.
One of the reasons why I specifically asked you that question is because HIV prevention, what I do within schools in predominantly in Brighton and just outside, is what we're now finding is, and I'm talking about all communities we go mm-hmm. and see, okay, is we're tending now to perhaps educate the parents through the children.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And why we're sort of recognising that is some of the questions they're asking us. Mm-hmm. You know, where, you know, we were told that HIV just happens in the gay community. Yeah. Now, you know, and we answer that quite, you know, with the correct information and the mm-hmm. answers. And you can see that some of that information perhaps has been embedded in, and I'm not criticising that at all. And perhaps their parents haven't got an yeah. update.
Yeah,
they still remember and think, yeah, you know, and some people perhaps think, you know, that's what happened, and don't, for various of reasons, do not update themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think yeah. that you're right in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, I did an assembly recently at one of the colleges here mm-hmm. in Brighton, one of the schools here in yeah. Brighton, and, you know, just to see so many faces, and I'm saying the information that I'm saying, and some of them were nodding in agreement, like they've heard that information
yes.
before, but some of them were astonished, and mm-hmm. even talking to kids after we'd done that assembly, yeah. and they were saying, you know, that they were going to go home and they were going to talk to their parents.
Yes.
So, like you say, it's right that they are mm. educating their parents, but I also think that mm. One of the problems that we've got is that parents think that they know everything.
Of course we do.
So they pass, exactly.
yeah.
But, and that's a natural thing as
exactly,
a parent. So
yeah.
you pass down mm-hmm. information that you think is mm. really, you know, relevant mm-hmm. and it was relevant in your time, but
yes.
times are changing.
Yes.
You know, and they're changing all the time. Things yeah. are coming out and they're new things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that especially in terms of, you know, the spread of social media and things like that,
yeah.
kids are learning a lot more, a lot quicker. But it's also one of the things that I think is important when it comes to normalising the sexual conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Because kids are learning things a lot quicker. They're
yes.
getting a lot more information a lot quicker. So the more we can normalise the conversation around that information,
mm-hmm.
the safer that our kids essentially are going
yeah.
to be, and the more open they'll be to new information and to mm-hmm. knowing, you know, new statistics and new things.
And that leads me on, we're now in 2020. Now
indeed.
You probably know what I'm going to say, you know, all schools and colleges
mm-hmm.
age appropriate should be delivering some form of sex and relationship
yep.
emphasize on the relationship
yes.
education within all communities, the LGBTQ
yep.
community, all communities. How do you think most communities are, because they're going to have to be doing something.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's, well, we already mm. know there's been a little bit of
yes.
upset. People are
yes.
not necessarily 100% behind this.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yes.
I do. You know,
uh-huh.
I understand people's concerns.
Sure.
But also, you know, working in the job that I work, mm. working in the field that I work in, you guys will know this as well
yeah.
because you guys are in similar fields to me.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
We cannot pretend that kids don't know the things that we would like to think that they don't.
Exactly.
They know this information already.
Yes. Yes.
You know, a lot of the time mm-hmm. when you're going in, especially when it comes to high school children,
yeah.
they think they know something because they've seen it on the internet. And if it's on the internet, as far as those kids are concerned, it's law, it's gospel, and that's how it should
that's
be.
That's right.
And, you know, I think that in some of the situations, it's putting our kids, it's putting our youth into situations that they can't necessarily handle. They don't know how to have discussions around keeping themselves safe. They don't necessarily know that what they may be seeing, unfortunately, if they see an errant advert or an errant video that perhaps is not age appropriate for them. They don't know that what they're looking at is not how things are supposed to be. So it's only by us having things like relationship and sex education in schools that we can explore what a healthy, happy relationship actually looks like, because not all kids will see that at home. So it's important for them to know what healthy, happy relationships look like. It's also important for them, definitely, I think, and important for everybody really, to be able to have a conversation in terms of condom negotiation and contraception negotiation and having that discussion. And it's important that we let our children know that it's not something that falls on one sex and not the other. So it's not for boys to talk about and not for girls to talk about. It's about opening a healthy conversation between both parties that are going to enter into anything, you know, anything sexual at all. It's about equipping them with the tools and, you know, to be able to have that conversation. And that's hopefully what relationship and sex education will do. And I think that although parents may have some, you know, some reservations about whether their children should have that, I think it's better for them to sit in that class and have that education and be armed with the tools to be able to protect themselves and keep themselves safe than for them not to have that education. And not, that's from all backgrounds.
If you're not affected by things like HIV, if it's not in your world, then you won't want to... know about it, will you? Because you just think, oh, it's not in my, it's not, it won't affect me. So that can affect how you go to get your testing and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's been the problem so far. I think that, you know, outside of the MSM community, everybody's thought that it's not for them. They don't have to worry about it. HIV is not something they have to worry about. And, you know, we know that that's not the case. We know that people are affected that thought that never in a million years would they even have to think about those three little letters, but they do. As soon as you're thinking about the three little letters SEX, you should be thinking about three little letters STI and HIV. That's just the bottom line of it. And I think that, you know, nobody can say, unless they can honestly hold their hands up and say that they're not engaging in any sexual activity at all, nobody can say that they don't need to worry about STIs, because they do.
Yes, it's a wait and see what's going to happen. I mean, I have to say, we are quite fortunate within Brighton, the city of Brighton, that most of our schools, because I cover most of the schools in Brighton, they are, they've been covering a certain amount of SRE for the last few years, but some of the schools in Brighton weren't even still entertain it. So, but we are quite fortunate that we are, we have been delivering something. But you know, it's those other cities, there's those other towns that think, oh well, no, we're the back of beyond. And I always remember, because I've got a daughter, and I remember when she first went to school, and she was 5 and 6, and I don't think it was about sex education. We had a letter, and they were going to have a talk about something, and I felt really uncomfortable about it. And I wrote it, and I says, I will teach my daughter everything. And you know what, I always remember that. But it's not until you experience something that could possibly affect your children that obviously got a different perspective. At now, obviously I'm being living with HIV myself, and I would want my child, if she was to go into school again at that age, to have the information age appropriate as possible. I would certainly want that, wouldn't you, Josh?
They don't teach things like HIV in schools. I'm not, obviously, apart from when you go into Positive Voices, isn't it?
And
worldwide, the country.
We're talking about under the age of 9. Yeah. We're not necessarily talking about, you know, teaching young people about oral sex. And this is where some people are getting mixed up. It's talking about, you've just hit on it, healthy relationship.
Exactly.
And a healthy relationship can happen within any community.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that is incredible. And that is the ballpark of any relationship, knowing that, you know, not to, you know, when we're talking about stigma as well, you know, oh my friend, she's got two mums, and my other friend's got two dads, and they get told different things at home, and you know, we're talking about, oh, we could bring up loads of things, couldn't we? We could bring up bullying, we could bring up loads of things, couldn't we? Yeah. And we need to get that information and an understanding that it's okay. And this is what 2020 is. We live in a diverse society, community, and world. And, and we need to perhaps take a step back and think, okay, we're talking about our children's children.
Exactly.
We want the future generations to perhaps not experience some of the things that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's crucial.
And I think one of the most important things that people forget when it comes to relationship and sex education is for children, a lot of things, they accept things as normal without needing an explanation.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to things like you were saying about people, kids saying, oh, well, my friend's got two mummies, or my friend's got two daddies, or, you know, my friend's got three families that live in the same house.
Yeah.
You know, kids accept that thing as normal.
Yeah.
It's only when we tell them and we teach them that something is abnormal that they realise that it's abnormal. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
We're teaching them at home things that we've inherited, you know, situations that we've inherited and stigmas that we've inherited, and then we pass them on to our children and then they carry on them on. So I think that relationship and sex education is a fantastic way for kids to be able to debunk the myths that they're learning at home, because prejudice is learnt. It's learned behaviour. It's not something that somebody is born with.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and I think that hopefully RSE will be able to break down prejudices across the board in, you know, in all walks of life for all things, not just sex related, just in general.
Exactly.
So I'm hoping that will be the case.
So it's a big space to watch then, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So can you just go over what's happening? You've got some testing coming up, have you?
Yes. So tomorrow, what day are we today? Tuesday, yeah. So tomorrow, well, on Wednesday in Farmer Campus, we will be doing some testing called Free Wednesday. So we'll be doing that monthly. And, you know, if you want to find out when we're going to be at Farmer Campus doing the Free Wednesdays, then just check out our website and it will be able to tell you there on the Facebook pages for us.
Yeah.
It will tell you a little bit about that testing. But also I'm doing BME specific testing at the BMECP here in Brighton. The first of those days that I'll be doing is on Monday the 3rd of February between 10 and 2, and that's at the BMECP in Brighton. I'll be there running a BME specific clinic. So for information, drop-ins for testing, just generally if you want to come and have a chit-chat, come and see me. And also I'll be updating our Facebook page, which is Terence Higgins Trust BABME, BABME Brighton. I'll be updating there with regular slots for us to be doing the BME testing at BMECP. So come and check us out.
Fabulous. Thanks for coming
on. Great having you on.
Yeah,
we will be having you on again.
Yes, no, it's great. And so the next track is one of yours too again, your disco flavour.
Oh, yes.
Can you remember what it's from?
Oh, it's from Dr. Hook. From my 70s. He's playing at my 70s weekend.
It's your 70s.
Yes.
It's your 70s.
It's Sue's 70s.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm not 70. So, yes, it's Sylvia's mother's. Actually, it's one of my sister's favourites, so it's for her.
Lovely. I'm not sure about that song, sorry.
It's my sister's favourite.
Oh, it's all right. No, it's all right. It's all right.
Okay, if you're tuned in, this is HRVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. Now, we've got some really interesting and really good news that came out last week from Public Health England.
Yes.
That reports show exceptional progress again against the HIV epidemic. So basically, we've had a drop in HIV transmission, which is a great drop. But it's only in certain communities.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid.
Right.
It's in the it's been in the gay and the bisexual and the other men who have sex with men. So basically, an estimate of 2,800 transmissions in 2012 to 800 in 2018. So basically, we got a fall of 7.14%.
Okay.
So we're really reaching for the target of 2030. That's the NA target of ending HIV transmission, if possible.
And that's by when? 2030.
Yeah, the UniAIDS target,
yeah.
Which the UK and many countries around the world have signed up for that. So it's a positive thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a positive thing, I have to say. You know, we're still trying to make sure that everyone can access PrEP. People in the UK are still having to buy it privately.
Which is a big, it's a hard thing then,
yeah,
isn't it? Really?
You know, if you're on a particular income and you can't afford it and you need to access it, you know, we believe that, you know, anyone should be able to access PrEP. And I know we talk about this all the time, you know, it's really a no-brainer. You know, let's just reiterate what PrEP is. It's a tablet you can take. before you have unprotected sex, yeah. and it can enable you to not acquire HIV.
Do you take it out? You take it every day.
You would have to take it every day.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, you know, if someone was sort of put on PrEP for 6 months, and normally, you know, when it's sort of you're given PrEP, you're given other prevention tools as well. You know, information right. to sort of, you know, talking about condoms and other things, so yeah. they don't just sort of chuck on you a load of PrEP. It's, you know, and that's when we had the trials of PrEP.
And that's when people can get it free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so if you think about this, Josh, you know, how much do you reckon your medication is a year?
No, this one. It's
a couple of pounds.
Yeah, £2.50.
Yeah,
£2.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly.
It's about 30,000, isn't it?
It's about 30,000 pounds. So £30,000.
Yeah.
And we're worth it. We're worth it.
We're worth it.
But if you think about it, you know, we're always talking about cost on the national health, and quite rightly so. Yes, we have to think about cost. We have to think about things that are more cost effective.
Yeah.
So how about this PrEP? Someone on PrEP for 6 months.
It's a lot less, isn't it? It's about 8,000.
Yeah, a lot less. So, you know, that intervention for a short period or a lifetime on HIV medication, we've sort of worked that is around about £30,000 a year. So we've sort of got some things to do. To you know, if we look at the, you know, the UK is the one of the countries, Josh, in the world to have reached and exceeded the UNAIDS 90-90-90 targets. So I'll just reiterate what that is.
Yeah, go on.
So basically, it's what we've signed up to amongst many countries around the world. So we've got about 803,800 people living with HIV in the UK up until about 2018. 93 were diagnosed with HIV, 97% on treatment, and 97 were virally suppressed. So we in the UK have literally, we've reached our 90-90 target. So that's the target. So basically it's making sure that countries reach the 90-90 target. 90% diagnosed, 90% on treatment, and 90% viral suppressed. That means undetectable, can't pass it on. We have exceeded that in the UK.
And many countries have, haven't they?
Quite a few countries.
Yeah.
Brighton was one of the first ones, and I remember meeting the Lord Mayor when we launched this a few years ago, when we sort of done the first campaign, and we've got, you know, it's launched in other cities and other parts of the world. So we need to sort of...
It's a good thing. It's a positive thing,
yes,
isn't it?
And it is. You know, I just want to see some of these figures. I just want to see some of these figures perhaps dropping in these marginal communities, like Aisha was talking about, and also the heterosexual community. And I often wonder why are we having a fall? Because we have had a significant fall.
Yeah.
And HIV, but it's only in certain communities, which is great, but it annoys me that other communities are not getting the messages.
So it's keep on giving the message, and hopefully
those messages will sort of seep through.
Yeah, definitely. So we're going to have a bit of Pet Shop Boys now.
Ooh, is that yours, Josh?
Yeah, I'll give it a try. Monkey Business. Oh, that's a bopping around there.
Yes, you're sort of swivelling around on your chair there, Josh. Now, we've all seen this in the news about the coronavirus in China.
Yeah.
But what was interesting to see that China is using HIV drugs to treat the deadly virus.
Well, amazing, yeah.
Experts search for a cure, according to a report. And Beijing officials with China's National Health Commission said two drugs used to combat HIV is being recommended to treat pneumonia symptoms from the virus. Now, the two of the drugs, a lot of people may recognise these two HIV drugs.
Yeah.
It's Lopinavir and Ritonavir.
Excuse me if I've
said that wrong. And they're saying to use these twice a day, it said. the US National Institute of Health is researching the generic code of the virus and hoping to begin human trials for a potential vaccine in 3 months' time.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So
it's all good. It's all,
yeah, I mean, because obviously the drugs we take are pretty, you know, they can't just be used for HIV. There's got to be other things.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this is an incredibly powerful virus, again, like, you know, like HIV is.
Yep.
And it's just really eye-opening that, you know, HIV drugs are now able to be used for other things.
Yep.
I mean, this is a tragedy going on. Apparently, up to date, as it was yesterday, there's been 56 people that have been killed by the coronavirus.
And there's more people getting infected, aren't there?
I know.
It's very scary to be.
It's scary.
Wearing masks and.
I know. It really is scary. But hey.
Have there any cases in the UK?
I think they've been testing a few people, haven't they?
Yeah.
But you know, the quicker they can sort of restrain what's going on, and hopefully, as I say, they're going to be doing some
research into looking at
the generic code of the virus.
Right.
So that'd be interesting to see, and hopefully that we can bring this to a conclusion very soon.
Yes.
Very soon.
So the next track we're going to play is another one from is it a disco-y?
This is a track for my a very good friend of mine. He's had a bit of a week.
Okay.
A bit of a, you know, when you have a bit of a week with things going on.
Yeah.
And I know that this is one of his favourite songs. You're going to pronounce it, Josh. Go on.
It's Alison Scaglotti.
Yes.
And it's a cover of a Pixies song called Where Is My Mind?
Right. Okay. And this is for you.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it?
I like
that. Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. Now, we've mentioned this the last few weeks, haven't we, Josh, about HIV dating?
Yes, we're doing one on Valentine's
Day,
can't
we? We're doing a special. A couple of days before. We're calling it our Valentine's special. So basically, we want to hear from anyone that has had success, or perhaps not so much success, on dating sites. Some of them could be HIV dating sites. They could be any form of sort of dating hookup or whatever takes your fancy. We want to know. If you found love or companionship or life partner or some just good news, you've had a really nice relationship meeting someone from that, and perhaps you're just now friends. We want to hear about it. I mean, it'd be great to get you on the show, but if you want to sort of perhaps send in your story, we could possibly read out your story.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you can do it through Twitter, can't we, on our Twitter accounts and Instagram. So.
Well, where the best place that people could get in?
We could email. What's the email address?
It's the hiv@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, do contact us. And, you know, we want to make it a fun show, and we want to make it possible that if you're sitting at home, I've got HIV, or, you know, I'm at a certain age, dating's not going to be for me anymore. It really isn't necessary. You know, we're going to be talking about, it doesn't matter, first of all, how old you are, Josh?
No, absolutely.
Doesn't matter what you're living with, you know. We can still find love, companionship, partnership, friendship. You don't need to sit at home and think, I'm finished, I'm done with.
Yeah.
So we want to make it lighthearted, and we're going to do perhaps the best top 10 dating sites.
And
some of those are going to include HIV dating sites. They're going to include other popular dating sites. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah, do get in touch.
Yeah, do get in touch. It'd be a good show. Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. A bit of community news.
Yeah.
Community Roots. They're a mental health and wellbeing support in Brighton and Hove.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're working together to support good mental health and wellbeing in Brighton and Hove, alongside a range of prevention, wellbeing and recovery support. A free phone number and website is available to help navigate and access the services.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need support or know somebody that does, you can call them on 0808 196 1768. Lines are open Monday to Friday, 9 till 5. Or you can visit their website, which is www.communityroots.org.uk.
Brilliant.
Also, the Brighton Half Marathon, THT, you can support them, you can mm-hmm. do sponsorship. So it's on the 23rd of February 2020. Registration fee is £10.
Right.
Sponsorship is £250. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, you can email kelly.clark@tht.org.uk.
Right, great thing to be involved with as well, isn't it, Josh? Yeah,
I think so. I've got a poem which I've...
Have you?
Yes, quickly, because we've come to the end of the show.
Yeah, so shall we?
Try not to go really fast.
No,
it's called Belonging.
Ooh.
We all need to feel we belong. We all need to feel wanted. When times are hard and we feel alone, to know you belong, to know that you are thought of, can be the best feeling in the world.
Very poignant finish. Very poignant and finish for the show. Another great show. I hope everyone's enjoyed it and perhaps got something from it. And tune in next week for the next one.
Yes, we should have Stuart back and hopefully Carl back next week.
Right.
So, I see. Good night from me.
And goodbye from me.
97.2 FM.
Radio Reverb.